It's Your Life is sponsored by James J.C. Cooley.
Life is a series of circles and cycles, phrases and stages. These are your experiences that teach you the lessons of life. You can either ignore them or embrace them. Welcome to The James Cooley Show. It's Your Life. James is a motivational speaker, author, military veteran, and founder of the J.C. Cooley Foundation. James is here to equip you to strive for greatness and overcome adversity. It's time to get equipped today for the challenges of tomorrow. Now, here's the host of It's Your Life, James Cooley.
Hello, welcome to It's Your Life. I'm James Cooley, and I tell you, it's Friday, and we closing this week on a bang. I'm talking about a serious bang because, you know, Friday, everybody is winding down from the week. And, you know, we're going to talk to a film producer, director. I mean, everything that's dealing with the film industry, and he's going to educate us on how that industry is. I mean, he's top notch in his game, head of the line. And you know what I tell you? So, Noel, so how you doing today, man?
I am doing well. Glad it's Friday. Long week, but I'm here and ready for another exciting show.
Well, I tell you, I'm going to tell the listening audience right now that they need to sit back, grab 3-4 bags of popcorn. And Michelle always say, what you say?
Get some goobers and Raisinets and some M&Ms, too.
Because we're going to bring it, you know. So, but I tell you, this has been a very interesting day. I mean, I started out, Michelle and I went out and did our 6 miles like we normally do, you know, to ease and get back into going into the weekend. And I had a great time. So, and you did your 6 miles, and plus you did a couple other things as well, right?
Well, I did a hill workout. I went around the subdivision 3 times up this hill, and it was just really, really challenging me, but it was great exercise.
But you see, she always tried to outdo me. and she always tried to outdo me. But you know what? That's the competitiveness in us. And I believe, and I encourage everybody to get out there and work out every single day if you can, and, you know, to try to stay as fit as possible. Because, you know, as you know, we're in this pandemic, and we have to ensure that our immune system, our physical health, and everything is on par so we can help fight off this pandemic. But the main purpose today that I want to talk about, just like I said, we're going to talk about the film industry. And, you know, I don't know a whole lot about that myself, but so I'm in for a learning. But before we even get started, I want to give everybody an opportunity to call in and join our conversation. So the call-in number is 1-888-344-1170. Again, that's 1-888-344-1170. And so, you know, call in, join the conversation. Let's interact. Let Howard Nash, who's my guest tonight, let him educate us. Michelle, can you tell our audience a little bit about today's show?
Well, the film industry, I love the film industry. The purpose of the show today is get a better understanding of the film industry, understanding the challenges involved with the film industry, determining the purpose behind the creation of a film, and the lessons learned before, during, and after the completion of a film.
Wow. You know, so my thoughts, like I always do, you know, just like I said, I don't know a whole lot about this, and I have very little knowledge as it relates to the film industry. But I do believe that it takes a highly creative person or personnel to write, direct, and produce great films. I also believe that this is a tight community of professionals that are familiar with each other's crafts of making films. And just like I said, I got one of the best in the business. Howard Nash is going to navigate us through that. Michelle, can you introduce our guest?
Yes. Howard Nash, producer, actor, writer. Howard Nash has actively been producing movies since 1991. 1993, he co-produced the hit Children of the Night, a vampire thriller released by Columbia TriStar Pictures, which aired on HBO, Showtime, Stars, and FearNet, and currently remains a regular staple on the Sci-Fi cable channel. His television credits include Feliciano, The Legend for PBS, a one-hour music special that aired in all 50 states. He also co-produced The Deep North for CBS, a one-hour documentary special which earned him an Emmy Award nomination. This film dealt with the current state of race relations in New York City. The next 10 years included more than a dozen widely distributed films, all of which were released domestically, as well as in 25-plus countries around the world. In 2008, he produced and appeared in Heaven's Messenger, a faith-based film starring John Hurt, Haley Eisenberg, and Vincent Pastore. It can be currently streamed on the Parables and Uplift TV platforms. And in 2013, he produced The Legends of Nathaya, also starring John Hurt with Robert Picardo and Teresa Russell. It deals with the fantasy world of a young boy whose parents are divorcing. It was released in more than 20 countries, including the United States. In 2016, Howard produced Occupants, a paranormal thriller which was released by Sony Pictures Entertainment and which has to date secured more than 44 International Film Festival awards. Following Occupants, he co-produced the boxing film Tiger, starring Mickey Rourke, which opened in theaters throughout the United States in November 2018. That same month, his television special, John Leguizamo's Road to Broadway, was broadcast nationally as part of Public Broadcasting's Break Performances series. His most recent film, American Whisper, has won 9 International Film Festival awards and is currently streaming in the United States and around the world. He is presently shooting a one-hour pilot for the Learning Channel in New York City. The James Cooley Show, It's Your Life, proudly presents Mr. Howard Nash.
Welcome to the show, Howard. How you doing, my friend?
Hello,
how you
everybody.
Doing?
How you doing? Hello. Very well. Very well. Also, add that Heaven's Messenger is also running on the Amazon Prime platforms as well as Tubi TV.
Wow.
So, very, very important.
Howard, can you tell us a little bit about your background and where you're from?
Where are you from? Originally Bronx, New York, and I started out as a musician and segued to becoming an actor. You know, the performing arts was always, my passion as a musician. I got a little tough in terms of trying to, remain on good terms with people because it was always a group, an orchestra, a band. And finally, I just kind of stepped out of that world because I think becoming an actor, if things went wrong, it was still focused on yourself and you didn't have to really depend on anyone or any one associate, for your day-to-day, performance. As you would with a music group. And then I segued, to producing as a way of essentially remaining close to the performing arts, but also, being able to develop and, present film projects where possibly I could return as an actor. And Heaven's Messenger was the perfect example of something that came, on my radar, and I produced it, but also with the idea of also acting in the film as well.
You just mentioned that, but what was the passion that made you want to be an actor, writer, and producer, instead of just one of those things?
Well, I think it's always been about, performing, and I love the performing arts, in general, as a musician and as an actor, creating artistically was always, an important part of just, what I did. And, it's something that I knew very early on I wanted to make my career, doing. And the acting subsequently, went to becoming a filmmaker. Occasionally also writing on the projects that I developed, and here we are I'm just, you know, happy to be doing what I do, and you know, being able to pay the bills while doing it, it's just, you know, a blessing.
How long have you been doing this? I mean, all three. Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
How long have you been doing all three of these, acting, producing, and directing?
I think that, I directed corporate films early on, but I don't really direct anymore. It all really started in the early 90s. That's when I, my first film was The Deep North, with legendary film director William Greaves, who is known as the Dean of African-American Filmmaking on the East Coast. In the 1970s and 80s, really there were only two African-American filmmakers. One was Gordon Parks, and the other was William Greaves. And I was honored to work for him on a CBS special that detailed race relations, you know, in New York City, as opposed to the Deep South. It was called The Deep North. And it was nominated for a New York Emmy Award. We didn't win, but hey, I was nominated. So, you know, I was proud of that. And subsequently went on to produce other films and documentaries as well.
Wow. You know what? We're going to take a station break, but we're going to come back and talk to Howard Nash. It's Your Life. I'm James Cooley.
There's more stories of greatness to help you overcome adversity. Coming up on It's Your Life with James Cooley. It's time to dream big, think big, and be big. It's time for more It's Your Life. Here's your host, James Cooley.
Welcome back to It's Your Life, and I'm James Cooley. I'll tell you, if you want to join in on the conversation, just like I said, we're going to be taking callers. 1-888-344-1170. Again, that's 1-888-344-1170.
Howard, how is your film American Whisper doing?
Doing very well. It's proud to say, I mean, for a self-distributed indie film, we've surpassed 1 million views as of about a month ago. Surpassed over 1 million views, starting to trickle into the mainstream media about the murder of an African-American family. That's still an open case. And, yeah, I'm very proud of it. And just I love to see, you know, the comments on social media, you know, by people basically you've never met, don't know, who are saying, you know, terrific, positive things about the film. So very, very happy, very excited about, you know, even increasing the views we have so far.
That's really exciting, and congratulations on that. You mentioned that American Whisper is an indie film. Maybe there might be some people out there don't know what indie films are. Can you kind of summarize what that is?
Well, you know, aside from being a marketing term, you know, this is an independent film, and it may not really be independently produced, but it sounds good, you know, when you're marketing a film to say that it's an independent. But it essentially, in real terms, it's just a movie that's been done independent of any Hollywood studio. And then it's then brought back, you know, to the Hollywood community after the film is completed. So it was financed, produced, packaged, and directed independent of any kind of Hollywood establishment. Then it's an independent film. And very often, you know, they promote movies as being an independent when it isn't really truly independent. It started at the, you know, at the get-go, you know, by a studio. But, you know, the real definition is in a film that was produced and completed independent of any kind of Hollywood establishment, you know, influence, and then brought to the film festivals after it was finished.
Great. Now, as the actor, writer, and producer of American Whisper, what was the most difficult of the three and why?
Well, I wasn't acting in American Whisper. I had a role in Heaven's Messenger. But as a writer and a producer, it was challenging. It was scary. It was everything, in between. But, it just truly wound up to be a wonderful film and a wonderful experience. There were times where, things got rough. Not everybody is always committed in the same way you would like them to be. But regardless of any kind of bumps in the road, 98% of the people who were, working on the film were there to do a job, and we all did it successfully, and we made it a terrific movie.
Great.
What was the most difficult progress through the beginning of your acting and writing career and producing? And can you give us some of the pros and cons of this, or choosing this field?
Well, basically, of course, if you're a producer or filmmaker, if you got something going, nobody questions it. They just, like to see it, for what it's worth. When you are an actor in your own film, you do get a lot of, blowback and questions. I mean, why are you doing this? Why are you here? But, eventually, you kind of show I do have a background and I had an acting career before doing the movie. So ultimately, especially with my fellow actors, they understood that. And it all comes down to the work also. When you're in that first scene and you're doing, your run through and dialogue with some of the actors, including John Hurd and Vincent Pastore, the moment of departure where the scene is going well, they don't really question you anymore, and it's no longer difficult. You're doing extremely well, because at the end of the day, it's about the work and being committed to the work.
Well, has there ever been any on-set horrors while making your movies, or had the whole process gone well every time?
I think overall it's always gone well every time, but you have your, different, bumps in the road. And I could say virtually with every film that I've done, it was successful and it was completed, successfully. Sometimes not because of certain people in the crew, but it was completed successfully despite certain people in the crew. And you can't always, especially with a low-budget independent film, count on everybody doing everything that, they're supposed to do. But I guess at the end of the day, if the majority of cast and crew are there to do the best job they can, and then no one or two people or egos can ever get in the way, because it just, overwhelms, the negative, and you come out with a really good project and a really good product.
Howard, what is it like watching the film for the first time after you finish it? Is there any specific sense of accomplishment, pride, or another feeling that you have?
Well, for, all of the films, it's just tremendous pride watching it for the first time. As an actor, not so much, because it's very subjective. And for Heaven's Messenger, which I hope people will check out and will look at and will see, and we'll be sending them some information on how to watch the movie. That's never a point of pride for any actor when they watch themselves for the first time. Some actors don't even care to watch themselves at all. It's very subjective, and you basically, focus on the trust of other people, the people you do trust, to tell you how it's going, the good and the bad. So as a producer, I'm always proud of what I see. But as an actor, 50-50, because it's me out there, and, I can't see it the same way, and I don't think anybody does.
Well, can you tell us about some of your newest projects, the ones you're currently working on in development?
Right now I have what I call an aspirational film that I'm developing. It's not quite faith-based, but it's more in the line of, Field of Dreams, where there is a presence, but it's not actually faith-based. and it's one of the best scripts I've ever read by a gentleman named Travis Oates, and it's a phenomenal project, and we're now attracting both financing and creative support and studio support, and I hope to get that going by summer 2021, and truly, it's my pride and joy, and I hope it's going to be one of, you know, one of the best projects I've ever produced, if not the best. And ideally, every project you do subsequent to the last one should always be, you know, the best. And that's what you aim for.
Hey, Howard, your relationship with people in the movie industry any different than the relationship with people outside of the movie industry?
It always is. I would have to say that my closest friends today are pretty much my closest friends because there's some kind of direct correlation to working in the industry. And that's just the way it is. And, you know, anyone that I know and have a close relationship that's not in the industry, I've known them for many, many years before, you know, I got established in the film community. So there's kind of a difference. I don't think I could really make any new friends, you know, at this juncture of my life if they weren't somehow involved in the creative community, whether it's film, theater, or, you know, or writing.
You know what? One of the famous directors, Martin Scorsese, we all love him. He once said, if you don't get physically ill after seeing your first rough cut, then something is wrong. Do you relate to this statement? If so, how do you find yourself getting past this feeling to get your desired end result?
I don't know. I wouldn't always say that you would need to get physically sick, but my first or one of my first acting teachers said that there should be a sense of energy and trepidation, you know, when you're about to, you know, embark on a new project. And if you ever lose that energy or trepidation, it's time to hang it up, you know, like the moment before you walk on stage or the moment before, you know, the director yells action. If you don't feel that kind of electricity and energy and, yeah, trepidation, I wouldn't say physically sick, but if you don't feel that energy, you probably shouldn't. You're probably in the wrong business.
Wow. You know, yeah, that's, I mean, you got to feel your passion, and so it affects us a lot of different ways. So you're absolutely right. You know what? We're going to take a station break, but we're going to come back, and I want to delve a little bit deeper in your new, one of your newest projects, Heaven's Messenger. And we're going to bring on Russ Emanuel. So it's your life. I'm James Cooley.
There's more stories of greatness to help you overcome adversity. Coming up on It's Your Life with James Cooley. It's time to dream big, think big, and be big. It's time for more It's Your Life. Here's your host, James Cooley.
Welcome back to It's Your Life. I'm James Cooley. And wow, I tell you, I told you, it's an exciting show. And we learning about the film industry. But we got another guest that's going to be joining us. His name is Howard Emanuel. Michelle, can you tell, I mean, Russ Emanuel. I'm sorry, Howard. I mean, Howard, Russ, both of you guys are, I mean, work together. Michelle, can you tell the listening audience a little bit about Russ?
Yes, Mr. Russ Emanuel. Russ Emanuel is an award-winning American director, producer, and independent filmmaker, having directed such actors as John Hurd, William Devane, Robert Picardo, Vincent Pastore, Jeremy London, Ryan Hurst, and Marina Sirtis. He grew up in both Japan and the United States and graduated from USC to study cinema television. He founded Russin Productions in 2002 to promote his films, including Girl with Gun, 2005, and documentary Restoration of Paradise in 2014. Presently, American Whisper 2020 marks Emanuel's fifth foray into feature filmmaking after directing Heaven's Messenger, Big Shots, The Legends of Nathaya, and Altaverse. The James Cooley Show, It's Your Life, proudly presents director Russ Emanuel.
Russ, how you doing? Welcome to the show, my friend. How you doing today?
Hey, pretty good. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, man, I'm glad that you took time to come on, man, because I want to hear all about this Heaven's Messenger. You know, so before we start, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and this current film?
Yeah, so, you know, my I think you did my bio, and thank you for that. But yeah, I've been making films since, I guess, 2002 or so. And, you know, I made a film back, it was like 2004, called Girl with Gun, that you mentioned. And that one was the reason that I started working with Howard Nash. He saw that film, and thank you, Howard, for taking a liking to the film and, you know, hiring me to work on Heaven's Messenger. So, it's definitely been a very surreal ride. And as a director, you know, I definitely have to work closely with my producer. So, you know, Howard and I have done this, what, 5 times, I think? So, yeah. It's been a ride.
Well, Heaven's Messenger has been noted as a faith-based film. Can you explain, and what is the important message in this film?
Well, I guess it's just helping, the importance of helping others, you know, the other people. And other than that, I just, you know, tell people to just check out the film, and you can, get your own message.
Oh, okay. Well, in the filming and the creation of Heaven's Messenger from start to finish, what was the most difficult setback and how did you overcome it?
Well, so when I was directing Heaven's Messenger, it was literally my first time directing a feature film. And I had a very big star-studded cast that you already mentioned, including the late John Hurd. Vincent Pastore, Holly Kid Eisenberg. And we had an investor who was going to show up on, I don't know, the first week or so of filming. And the efficiency of the set for the first couple of days was a little bit low. And the reason is we had a first AD on the film, a very nice guy, but he just wasn't doing the job. And an AD is an assistant director whose job is to keep the film on track, basically, keeping the cast and the crew on schedule. And unfortunately, I had to fire him. And I don't like doing that. And I remember I got crew members who were complaining about him. And I went up to Howard. I'm going, Howard, I'm sorry, but I think we have to fire the first AD. Because, you know, our investor was going to show up like the day after. And if we didn't show an efficiently run set, I don't think, you know, he would have been impressed. So we had to make that decision.
You know, Russ Howard, I think we got a caller on the line. Joshua from California. Are you still there?
Hello. Yeah, I'm still here.
Hey.
Yeah.
Do you have
a question? I have a question for both Howard and Russ. I'm actually a music student, and I actually compose film-like trailer songs. So my main question is, how could a music composer break into the film industry?
How?
Was that directed for Russ or myself?
Both, I believe.
For both.
Russ, you want to take that one?
I mean, the way I found my composer of Heaven's Messenger, his name was Neil Argo. He unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago. But he, the way we found each other, I think, was through a website called LA411.com. And this was back in 2003, maybe. But that's the reason I was able to work with him. Our current composer, his name is Basilis Malesis, we found, I think Howard and I found through Facebook, if I'm not mistaken. And we just listened to samples, his samples, you know, music samples. And we're like, you know, this guy, yeah, we would love to work with him. So that's how, you know, we were able to, you know, interact with our composers. Does that answer your question?
It does. It does. I'm just trying to figure out different ways so I can just get my foot in the door in the film industry.
Yes, I understand. Yeah, you know, Facebook is a great site. LA411.com, I think it's still in existence. That's where I found my composer for Heaven's Messenger.
Okay, thank you.
Wow. You know, Russ, I heard that you had some unexplained phenomena on that film. What were they?
Well, I think Howard could answer that question better than I can.
Howard?
Tell me the, please rephrase.
I said I heard you guys had some unexplained phenomena on that film. What were they?
Yeah, I mean, just some very interesting things. I'm sure it has nothing to do with the paranormal nature of the movie. It's just that we had some really amazing actors on our set, in our cast, and they had kind of all worked together at one point before the film, and they never mentioned it. They never told me. They never told us. I think Russ caught wind of it, but I only found out later on that truly John Hurd, the late John Hurd, and Vincent Pastore, you know, were very critical components, characters in the story of The Sopranos, HBO's The Sopranos. For a couple of episodes, both of their characters, you know, connected in a way that made a huge impact on the story and on the series. I never knew that. And they would come in every day. They would, you know, say hello to each other. And I had no clue that these two great actors had a history. It apparently seemed like the work was more important than, you know, reminiscing about what they did on The Sopranos. And even, you know, further than that, Vincent Pastore and Halle Eisenberg, together, they starred in those iconic Pepsi commercials of the 1990s, where the little girl walks in, who is Halle, asks for a Pepsi, and Pastore gives her a Coke, and you hear the music from The Godfather, and she says, "I still use Pepsi Cola, and you're giving me this." it was a huge hit, this commercial. I never knew that these two actors had a history. I think Russ caught wind of it, because I later saw a picture of him holding a can of Pepsi next to Halle Eisenberg.
Yes, I definitely caught wind of that, and we put a little homage into one of the scenes. For anybody watching the film, there is a Pepsi can in that scene. Of course, you can't see the full can, but it is there. So, yes, I was aware. And as for John Hurd and Vincent Pastore, as a director, I have headphones, because I have to listen to the actors when they give their lines, right? So I'm what's called lavaliered. So I can hear them. And I heard John and Vincent during, some downtime, and because they were lavaliered, right? So I can hear their audio. And they were talking about how many times they both died on a TV show. And, I think with John, you know, he died in The Sopranos, the Battlestar Galactica. And then Vinny, I think he also died in The Sopranos, if I'm not mistaken. So it was kind of amusing to just listen to them. And I'm sure they knew that I could hear them. As a director, I do have the headphones on, so... that is kind of an amusing anecdote, if you want one.
I remember both of them in the Sopranos, actually. So, both of you, what are some of the lessons or takeaways that you got from working on Heaven's Messenger?
Oh wow, it's pretty much was consistent. I don't know how Russ can answer to that. But you know, it seems like in almost every film we've done, if not virtually, every film, you work with a group of committed, dedicated artists and crew, technical crew. And, you know, out of, you know, 20 or 25, you know, people who are working on a film at every given time, there may be one or two that completely you guessed wrong, you hired the wrong person. But I think when you have, you know, 23 people, you know, committed, you know, 24/7 thinking about it, working on the film, the one or two, you know, that just doesn't work out, don't really have a major effect or impact. You notice it, it's there, but you know, at the end of the day, at the finish line, you know, you got yourself a great project. And the one or two, you know, people that just didn't cut the mustard, you know, didn't really impact anything. It wasn't the end of the world. I don't know how Russ, you know, would figure, but that's been my takeaway.
It's time to dream big, think big, and be big. It's time for more It's Your Life. Here's your host, James Cooley.
Welcome back to It's Your Life. I'm James Cooley, and wow, I tell you, Howard and Russ is giving us a lesson. You know, and no, my producer, you know, are you getting this one?
I'm getting it, and we have talked off the air, James. I absolutely love film. I have since I was a kid. So my question for both Russ and Howard, as you guys were growing up and kind of looking to get into the film industry, what were your inspirations? What filmmakers really pushed you to want to do this for a living?
Russ, you want to take that first?
Well, it's funny that a musician called into the show. My inspiration was the legendary composer John Williams.
Oh, that's great.
And his music. Yes, that's the reason I'm making films. Specifically, it was to the Richard Donner's Superman, the score to that film.
That's a great one, yeah.
And when I was like 16, I remember seeing Jurassic Park in the movie theater. At this time, I was living in Japan, in Kobe, Japan. So it came out like a year later. That's just how it works there. So in 1992, I was watching the film, and I remember seeing that sequence in the helicopter at the beginning of the film, and they're flying to Isla Nublar, and I remember seeing the acting, the cinematography, and then John Williams, listening to John Williams' score, and it just was so rousing, and I got goosebumps.
It sounds like you and I are very similar. For me, you can have a great movie, but if the music isn't just right, just perfect, it really kind of brings it down, and John Williams was a master at perfecting that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, definitely. I would love to work with the maestro, but probably that's not going to happen.
Well, for me, I mean, it was always my inspiration as a younger person. Younger person really was all about The Godfather and watching Francis Coppola and his direction and the actors, Al Pacino and later Robert De Niro. They were the guys who inspired me, and, you know, I think they inspired, like, millions of people, you know, in that generation who are, you know, now active today.
Oh, yeah.
Many ways, it's almost no equal, you know, in terms of interpreting, the script the way only he could. And they said that, or the critics say, it was the first great film that combined independent filmmaking with the Hollywood studio establishment. And it was probably the most perfect alliance of both that cinema ever.
Oh, sure. It's a masterpiece.
Yeah, truly. Yes. Yeah. And I wanted to point out one other, unexplained, you know, paranormal incident with Heaven's Messenger. Subsequently, after the film was produced, I, applied to have it endorsed by the Dove Foundation. And Dove Foundation, basically, you know, the same people who make the soap, have a foundation that give ratings to fake-based films. And I submitted mine, and within about a week or two, I got back a response saying, this is unlike any film we've ever seen before. We can't, you know, even explain how, you know, how this film, you know, impacted us. But we regret we cannot give you an endorsement or rating through the Dove Foundation because of certain scenes. And I wrote them an email the next day, and I just said, please tell me, you know, I'll do anything. Just please tell me, what can I do? What scenes do you want me to edit or, you know, refashion, and I'll do it. Just please, I'll do anything. And the next day, I got a call from the director of the Dove Foundation, and he said, after giving it some consideration and thought, we've decided that we're going to give you the endorsement and the Dove rating for your film. And I said, thank you so much. I'm so grateful. I'm just glad that I sent you that email. And there was a pause, and the director said, what email? And it turned out he hadn't checked his messages that day. And he never saw the email. He just called on his own accord to tell us that they had a change of heart and they would give us the endorsement. So those are one of those unexplained phenomena that, you know, we're proud of and that, you know, impacted our film.
Wow. You know, that's a great message. And I think we got a call on the line. Marlon from California.
Yeah.
You have a question for our guest?
Yes. I understand you're a great producer, and I just want to ask you, what is your biggest challenge of being a producer? Because, you know, as a producer, you do wear a lot of hats and you're bringing everything together. What is your biggest challenge that you have to deal with?
You know, the interesting thing is, it's an excellent question, is that the more you succeed and the more you progress, the more challenging things get. And you really think that you're being challenged, you know, in the beginning stages of putting together a movie. But you don't know what the word challenging is until you actually succeed and you actually progress and you start dealing with, I don't know, the powers that be and the politics that go into making a movie. And at every step of the way, you have to remind yourself, or at least I do, that I'm meeting these challenges now as a direct result of being successful in getting this movie launched. And and it's a variety of things, but, you know, the best answer is it comes when you begin to succeed and make progress in mounting the production. That's when other people start getting involved, you know, rightfully, because they have a right to, investors, executives, whatever. And and that's when is the most challenging. And if you weren't making progress, you wouldn't hit those challenges, or they wouldn't hit you. They come as a result of your success.
You know, Howard, getting back to Heaven's, you know, the movie Heaven's Messenger, is there anything our audience can do to help you get the word out on this great film?
Yeah, we would really be grateful. And, you know, we're going to follow up with an email tomorrow that, you know, specifies even further how you can help our film. But right now, you can see the film on Amazon, Heaven's Messenger, on the Amazon Prime platform. You can see it on the Tubi TV platform as well. And upon seeing those the films on either of those two platforms, we would be grateful if you could rate our film on the Amazon Prime you know, page. You do not have to see the movie on Amazon in order to rate it. You can see it on anywhere and then go to the Amazon rating page. There are like four yellow stars. You just click on it, boom, there it is. And the interesting thing about, you know, movies in, you know, 2021, it's not about how many people watch your film, although that's important, but it's not really about how many people see your movie, but how many people actually engage with it and rate it and talk about it after they see it. And it can make the difference between Amazon promoting your film and putting it out there to the world versus dropping it from their platform completely. And it's those two extremes are the reality that we have to deal with. So we would be grateful if people could get on the Amazon page and rate our movie. You can write a review, but you don't even need to do that. Just when you see the film, just rate it, and we'd be grateful for that. Thank you.
Well, Howard and Russ, how can our listening audience get in touch with you guys if they will have more questions and want to do a follow-up? How can they get in touch with you?
Absolutely get in touch with me from my Facebook page, Howard Nash, Russ Emanuel. Hey, if our names are written the way we see it here, just jot it down. There aren't too many. also LinkedIn, but, Facebook. And my email address is howard.nash27@gmail. howard.nash27@gmail. You can get in touch. I can also forward the information on the film, how to see it, how to watch it, and how to, rate it on Amazon Prime.
Well, I would like to thank both of you guys for taking the time to come on the show. This has been such a great show. Our listening audience is well educated, at least I am, for getting information. So I would like to thank Howard. I would like to thank Russ. I'd like to thank my co-host here. And most importantly, I would like to thank our listening audience for taking time to listen in today, and hope that everybody's going to have a wonderful weekend because we just set it off. But most importantly, I want to always let the audience know and that we're looking for sponsors so we can continue to bring this great message to you. It's Your Life. I'm James Coolin. I will see you Monday. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful weekend. Enjoy yourself. See you Monday.
Thanks for joining us for It's Your Life with James Cooley. To learn more about James, how you can support the show, or become a guest, visit CooleyFoundation.org. Join James weekdays at this same time for more motivation and inspiration to help you become equipped today for the challenges of tomorrow. This has been The James Cooley Show. It's Your Life, where you learn how to dream big, think big, and be big at everything that you do.